listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue here on 2SER. You can also find us on 2SER.com and on iTunes. Or perhaps if your neighbour has us on really loud, you can listen to us by holding a glass up to the wall. Each week, I'm joined by a very special guest, and they pick four of their favourite songs to play and tell me why. All right, let's find out who we've got this week. My guest today is one of Australia's hardest working opera singers, having been part of Opera Australia's Carmen and the very interesting Chamberpot Opera this year alone. She's also performed in Little Women and La Boheme, and in 2013 was the recipient of the BBM Youth Support Award for Music Performance, which took her all over the world to work with some opera veterans. And now she has just returned from a bunch of massive shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Jessica Westcott.
Hi, happy to be here.
Welcome home.
Oh, thank you. It's really nice to be home.
How was your trip?
It was amazing, overwhelming, and just long enough.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really nice to be home.
You were part of Chamberpot Opera, a show that had a big run here in Australia, and then, of course, went over to Edinburgh. For those people who are listening who don't know, what was the show about?
So Chamberpot Opera was a sort of really unique concept that was devised by a couple of NIDA graduates, and they basically wanted to stage an opera in a women's bathroom, and they wanted to make it an opera that sort of celebrated feminism and championed the bathroom. And so we ran it for, like you said, a couple of seasons here in Australia. We did it in Adelaide and we did it in Sydney for two seasons. And it kind of revolves around three girls in a bathroom, and they meet each other, solve each other's problems in the bathroom, and then never see each other again. But it's actually held in a real bathroom. It's not a stage of a bathroom. It's a real bathroom.
That's the thing. It's not like a pretend bathroom where we're just going to set it up on, like you said, a stage or something. You actually went into a bathroom where people would want to use the bathroom and weren't able to.
And in Sydney, we were really lucky because we had the Queen Victoria Building's bathroom, which it kind of was created around. The show was made for the Queen Victoria Building bathroom. But when we got over to Edinburgh, it was a much smaller space. And of course, I'll talk about all the crazy stuff that happens with this opera, but when we're setting up and packing down from the opera, we constantly have to shoo people away who really want to go to the toilet. It's just hazards of putting it in an actual bathroom.
Tell us about your character in the show.
My character, so none of us have names, so mine was loosely called Woman 3, but my character is a really strong, fierce woman, and she, just before the show, had just been given a promotion. She was all dressed up, and she comes into the opera ready to celebrate. She's got a bottle of Moët and no cares, so she's having a great time. And she's sort of the one who is at odds with all of the drama during the show, and she has to sort of settle down and find out how she can, in her moment of elation, help these other women who are not so happy and are in different stressful parts of their life. So that's the journey she goes through. And she's really fun because I got to create her, and so she's a lot like me.
Okay, I was going to ask, is it a character that you could base yourself on?
Yeah. So the great part of this opera is that it's completely created from the ground up. We all put our, 50 cents in and got to create our own characters. And we were given really amazing direction by Clem Williams, who is just fantastic. But she let us put our own influence into the characters and shape them around a sort of ideal, and mine definitely reflects a lot of who I am, but also challenged a lot of my views in the opera, which is really, really great. It was fun to play.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Where did you grow up and what got you into opera?
So I grew up on a farm, a really big farm out in Parkes, which is central west New South Wales. It's about 6 hours from Sydney. And I grew up on the farm. I had to catch a bus that was like an hour and a half into school every day, and my family, weirdly, was not a sporting family per se. My dad is really, really big into music. We played at church together, and he heads up the local theatre society. So I went to the local high school, and I was, everyone else was kind of doing sports and stuff. I was in rehearsals for the musical per year that Parkes Musical and Dramatical Society would put on, and that was kind of my home. So the M&D Society and the church, where I sang with Dad every week, those were kind of like my two stalwarts of the week. Got to high school and just kept performing in these things and got to year 11 and started really thinking that my voice was a lot bigger than I thought it was. And I was really lucky to be able to have the opportunity to go to Sydney and study with a singer, in, a teacher in Sydney who is actually a relation of my dad's, small world. And then also I had another singing teacher in Dubbo and a really treasured one home in Parks. So I sort of would do the rounds between these singing teachers and learn as much as I could from them. And by the time I'd left year 12, I did music extension and that sort of thing at a really small sort of public high school where I did, you know, I sort of outsourced a lot of it. Once I'd finished that, I sort of thought maybe I'll go study this at uni, and then I went off to Canberra.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And you are a soprano now.
Yeah.
For those playing at home, what is a soprano?
What is a soprano? So a soprano is essentially just a female voice who sings higher than, say, average. So you have a soprano, and you have, in the opera world, you have a mezzo-soprano, which is commonly known as an alto, sort of in the school choir sort of field. Then, of course, in opera, you also have a true alto, which is a really, really deep sort of sounding female voice. And then in the men, you have tenors and basses and baritones and that sort of thing. So I am a soprano. I trained predominantly as a sort of subsection of a soprano called a lyric coloratura soprano, which, for those playing at home, is a soprano who has quite a high extension up the top, a lot of agility in the voice, but also the ability to thicken their voice sort of halfway down the range. Yes, my opera people will know what I'm talking about, but within the opera world, there are classes and subclasses of voices. And you sort of, when you go overseas, you have to stick very firmly to your subclass when you do auditions and things. So
okay.
That was my subclass per se.
And you studied at the Con.
Yep.
Conservatorium of Music. Yep. How did you find that? Was it a great experience for you?
It was wonderful. I actually started in Canberra. So I went, my mum, when I graduated high school, said, you can go to Canberra or Canberra for uni, because we were from a small country town and Sydney was just way too overwhelming. So I did my undergrad in Canberra and really, really loved it there. But at the end of my time, I did music and languages there. At the end of my time, there was a sort of big controversy at the School of Music where the Vice Chancellor took all of the money out of the School of Music, some $9 million, I believe, and put it into the medical school, which basically left all of the students at the School of Music without an ability to finish their degree, without any teaching staff, and certainly no resources. All of the resources were pretty much taken out of the building. So that was towards the end of my third year. So I basically, I was planning to do an honours year there, but I sort of just had to cut my losses, graduate with a 3 degree, and move to Sydney, where luckily I was offered a spot at the Con in their honours program. So I kind of just came straight into honours in Sydney. So I did honours there, and it was really, really wonderful. The community atmosphere is very different. It's obviously very, very high standard in Sydney, very competitive standard, but the teaching is wonderful, and it sort of puts you in the right mindset if you want to do this as a career, which I really appreciated. Yeah.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask you about your views on opera, though.
Yeah.
Particularly nowadays, where do you think opera is going and what direction would you like it to go?
This is a really sticky question. I personally have a love-hate relationship with opera. I love the opportunities that it has given me. I love the essence of the art form, and I love the creativity of the people involved and certainly everyone in the community, but I don't necessarily agree with a lot of what opera stands for and what opera is trying to accomplish. So there are some companies overseas, for instance, that are trying to modernize the art form. There are certainly thousands and thousands of productions that are trying to modernize old operas, and I actually, some of them are quite successful. But I personally don't think that the opera world has done enough to make what they are doing relevant for people my age, 25. They haven't made them relevant for the people my age who are studying the art form, let alone the people who just want to go along. So I am very starting to become more vocal in championing that idea of not saying this, we're going to make this more modern so you will come along, but we're still going to charge $200 a ticket. I'm very much of the idea of meeting like today's generation where they are at, so in a bathroom, for instance, and building up from there and going, hey, look, we are a beautiful art form. We've got a long history, but we want to meet you where you are. And I think that opera is so wonderful. It's such a passionate art form, and it doesn't have to die, and I don't think it will. It just needs to just lower itself a little bit. And that doesn't have to mean quality or opportunities or fewer people going to watch, it can just, you know, take the stick out for a bit.
Yeah.
I think.
Actually, I really agree with those views. And I think, you know, it's almost like a generational thing that the older generation, no, we're going to stick to the old ways.
Definitely.
But you're like, no, you know, it's 2017.
Yeah.
We got to move it into the real world now and grow up. I think they're great views.
Yeah. It kind of, I had this thought the other day that the opera world to me kind of feels like the sort of feeling of it is of like a 50-year-old dad trying to talk street talk with a kid. Instead, let a, you know, 30-year-old talk to that kid. Or I don't know what the metaphor is, but that was kind of feeling is. Yeah.
I understand. Like I see your dad going, yeah, I'm hip, I'm cool, you know.
What's up in the hood? You know, like, dad, no.
Not in front of my friends.
Exactly.
All right, we have to get into your new song to start the show.
Yeah.
What have you gone with?
So I have gone with, so when I was finishing high school, I started to realize that I could sing opera. And the main sort of catalyst of that was I performed in a local community variety show. And I sang this song, which is called 14G by Kristen Chenoweth. And in this song, Kristen Chenoweth is one of my idols, by the way. She has to perform the role of a Broadway singer, a jazz singer, and an opera star. And people would come up to me and say, that opera bit, you're pretty good at that.
Just moved in to 14G, so cozy, calm, and peaceful. Heaven for a mouse like me, with quiet by the leaseful. Pets are banned, parties too, and no solicitations. Window seat with garden view, a perfect nook to read a book. I'm lost in my Jane Austen when I hear. Say it isn't so, not the flat below. From an opera wannabe in 13G, a matinee of some cantata, Wagner's Ring and Traviata.
Oh,
all those voices with just one singer. That is incredible. Now, Jessica, do you remember your first performance?
Yes. Yes, I do. So, like I said, I performed with my dad a lot. My dad is a great entertainer, and I have learned a lot from him. When I was, I think, 2.5, 3 maybe, I sort of wandered onto stage while he was playing his 12-string guitar, and Dad picked me up and we sang a song called A, You're Adorable, which just goes through the alphabet. B, You're So Beautiful. C, You're a Cutie Full of Charm. I still remember the whole thing. But halfway through the performance, I took the microphone off Dad and sang the rest of the song into the microphone because it was my microphone. So, I mean, there's absolutely no resemblance of what I would turn out to be. It's just totally off the bat, showman from, age 3.
Okay, so that was age 3. You're now 25.
Yes.
What are some shows that people may have seen you in?
I did 2 years of touring with, I guess what definitely the most people would have seen me in, is I did 2 years of touring with Opera Australia's Schools Program in 2014-15. And we visited 50,000 children, I think, over 2 years. So if you're talking, if there's some kids listening to this show and they go to a New South Wales private public school, they would have seen me in Cinderella in 2014 and Hansel and Gretel playing Gretel in 2015. So, that was so much fun. I also did earlier this year Carmen on the Harbour, which was just super great. I was in the chorus for that, and that was just fireworks and everything. And I don't know, chamber pot opera. I've done everything. I'm sure you know who I am. I'm very famous.
I know who you are. That's why I got you in here.
Yeah, it's great.
okay, we'll talk about Carmen just quickly because that was a massive show. That was on the harbour.
Yeah.
How was that like performing there?
It was, yeah.
And was it every night for?
Yeah, for a month. So it was amazing. It was the biggest show, I would say, in Australia. Potentially in Australian history, is the Opera on the Harbour series. Certainly the most expensive for the company to put on. But I did, I was in the ensemble and it was incredible. We rehearsed out in Olympic Park. We had tanks flying that were attached to cranes that would just sail over the back of the set and onto the stage. We had like a full tank and a full truck, as well as one of the characters was strapped up to the crane himself. I actually, in the after party for opening night, decided I would make, I had a sort of a mission. I was like, I'm going to be strapped to that crane before the end of the season. I don't know who I have to be friends with, but I will make sure I find them. So in the after party of opening night, I went and found a guy called Fetu. And he apparently is the crane guy. So I introduced myself to him. I made friends with him that night. I was like, right, so tell me when to come and see you. And anyway, long story short, and I got to actually fly on the crane with 2 360 cameras taped to my hands, flying over Sydney Harbour about 100 metres above the stage, maybe not that much, 50 metres, and it was incredible. That was the coolest thing I think I did during the season.
That's so amazing. Yeah. Did you get to keep the footage?
I did. I've got all the footage.
Yeah?
It's really cool. If anyone wants to see it, then come to me. Got a lot of selfies up there too.
So before you go out on stage, you obviously have to warm up and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But do you ever have any sort of pre-show rituals?
I think for me, it's mainly just making sure I have energy. So I don't have any real pre-show rituals except just don't have a big meal. They say that there's stuff that you can't really eat before you sing. I don't think that's a thing. I just think that you probably just shouldn't eat before you sing because you'll just spit stuff at people. But no, I just make sure that I have enough energy, which is normally because when I get to the end of the day, which is when a performance is, especially when I was touring with the schools company, it's very sort of mentally and physically exhausting up until the moment you get up on stage, and then you have to make sure that that's the peak of your day and you have the most energy there. So I'll go for a run or I'll have a coffee.
Okay.
Coffee plays a huge part in my career. Yeah, it really does.
Tell us about the BBM Youth Support Award that you won.
Yeah, that was great. So BBM is a company in Sydney, and they are – well, actually, they're from the UK. They are a collaborative venture between a place in London and a place in Sydney called BBM. And they like to give young Australians the chance to go to the UK specifically, but overseas, and pursue whatever it is they're good at. So there is also a BBM award for dancing and acting and agriculture and carpentry. So if you're a young person under the age of 22 and you have, an interest in one of these things, then definitely check out their website because they're awesome, awesome people. Yeah, so I won the music award for the year, and they were like, here's a bunch of money, go to the UK, go and do whatever you want. So I went over there, I found Australian operatic legend Yvonne Kenny, and I studied with her for a little while. And yeah, I went to New York, I went all around Europe, but one of this big trip, and met so many people and just got so many people's opinions about my voice, but also advice on careers in opera and the element of creativity and making your own and entrepreneurship in opera. And that was what I really appreciated about the entire experience, was the ability to meet people who said, you don't have to wait for other people to give you a career, you just make a career. And that was really great.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And you have been all over the world because of singing, right? You've been to London and New York, as you said, Salzburg, San Francisco, Scotland. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean. It's great. I feel like if I have gone a year or maybe a year and a half without going overseas for something, I sort of get a bit itchy. So I have to go and pursue something. But no, I've been really lucky in that I've gone overseas for, I've done summer programs overseas. I've done sort of little operas overseas and stuff. And it's always been on the back of wonderful people in Australia who have been able to send me over there. So yeah, I've had a great time so far.
Are there any people in the opera world that you look up to or... That you admired?
Definitely, yeah. So there's one lady in particular. Her name's Joyce DiDonato. And I think a lot of my opera singing friends who are listening to this would also appreciate. She is an American mezzo-soprano, and she is the champion of the 21st century opera singer. And she's incredible. If you YouTube her, Joyce DiDonato, you'll see that she runs masterclasses with young students and actually gives them real advice on their singing, not just like, you should lift your soft palate or you should think about your lover while you're singing this song, but actual genuine stuff. And she's a young soul and she's fantastic. I really aspire to have her enthusiasm for everything that I do in my career, because she's very inspirational. Yeah.
You mentioned a lot of shows before. Have you ever done a role where you were just completely, it had just affected you on a personal level? Has that ever happened?
It has. I think, honestly, that the one that has most done that has been in Chamberpot. Because it's such an intimate show, there's nowhere to hide. Like, the brilliant and sort of, I guess, arresting part about opera is that you are so far away from the people singing. Because you have to be, because their voices are so freaking loud.
Yeah.
So they don't have to really act well. They can kind of park and bark. They can stand and sing and they don't have to do anything. But Chamberpot Opera puts you in a bathroom with 25 people that are meters from your face. There's nowhere to hide. You have to really be in the moment. And I was with two girls who are both NIDA trained actresses. So they were years beyond me in their acting abilities, so I felt very out of my depth. But their commitment to actually feeling the intensity, and it is an intense show, the intensity every night was really sort of, at the beginning, very hard for me to deal with, because I thought, oh, I could just sing my way through this. But no, I actually had to be there, be in the moment. I mean, one of the characters tries to commit suicide, and you have to be there in that moment. And so that, I think, was very hard. And very, emotionally, I don't know, it was a good thing for me to have gone through that experience. Because in opera, a lot of the time, you're playing characters which really have no relevance in today's basis. There are a lot of what we call Inas, because they're always called Amina or Pamina or Despina. And they are usually, they're faceted, multifaceted characters, but underneath they are just girls, and there was no feminism back when they were written. So you kind of are playing these sort of flappy little girls and have to laugh at what the men say, and then you die at the end. Not in the case of the Inas, but you die at the end. And it was really nice to play something where you triumph. And that was the difference for me, I think. So, yeah.
Awesome. We have to move on to your new song now. Mm. What have you picked and why?
So I've picked Nonstop from Hamilton. Hamilton is a musical. If you haven't heard of it, look it up. It's written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who won a Tony last year, won every Tony last year for it. And it is an incredible musical. It's mostly told in rap, which might put you off if you're not a fan of rap. But please, I implore you, if you're a fan of the English language, go and listen to Hamilton. Especially this, I picked this one especially because I personally love words, and I love people who write clever things with words. And every time I listen to this song, I hear another clever thing that Lin has done when he wrote it. And Lynn not only wrote this, but he also stars as Alexander Hamilton and is the one singing this song.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is I got a lot of brains, but no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough. A shining piece of coal, trying to reach my goal. My power of speech, unimpeachable. Only 19, but my mind is older. These New York City streets get cold. I shoulder every burden, every disadvantage I've learned to manage. I don't have a gun to brandish. I walk these streets famished. The plan is to fan this spark into a flame. But damn, it's getting dark, so let me spell out the name. I am the A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R. We are meant to be a colony that runs independently. Meanwhile, Britain keeps shitting on us endlessly. Essentially, they tax us relentlessly. Then King George turns around, runs a spending spree. He ain't never gonna set his descendants free. So there will be a revolution in this century. Enter me.
He says in parentheses.
Don't be shocked when your history book mentions me. I will lay down my life if it sets us free. Eventually, you'll see my ascendancy. And I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. It's time to take a shot.
I dream of life without a monarchy. The unrest in France will lead to anarchy. Anarchy, how you say? How you say? Or anarchy. When I fight, I make the other side panicky with my
shit.
Yo, I'm a tailor's apprentice, and I got job knuckleheads and local parentis. I'm joining the rebellion, cause I know it's my chance to socially advance. Instead of sewing some pants, I'm gonna take shit.
And but we'll never be truly free until those in bondage have the same rights as you and me. You and I do or die. Wait till I sally in on a stallion with the first black battalion, have another shot.
Geniuses, lower your voices. You keep out of trouble and you double your choices. I'm with you, but the situation is fraught. You've got to be carefully taught. If you talk, you're gonna get shot.
Bird, check what we got. Mr. Lafayette, hard rock like Lancelot. I think your pants look hot. Lawrence, I like you a lot. Let's hatch a plot blacker than the kettle calling the pot. What are the odds of God who put us all in one spot? Pop in a squad and conventional wisdom, like it or not. A bunch of revolutionary manumission abolitionists. Give me a position, show me where the ammunition is. Oh, am I talking too loud? Sometimes I get overexcited, shoot off at the mouth. I never had a group of friends before. I promise that I'll make y'all proud.
Let's get this guy in front of a crowd.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
Everybody sing!
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Sister, that she's gotta rise up.
When are these colonies gonna rise up? 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 Rise up!
I imagine death so much it feels more like a memory. When's it gonna get me? In my sleep, 7 feet ahead of me? If I see it coming, do I run or do I let it be? Is it like a beat without a melody? See, I never thought I'd live past 20. Where I come from, some get half as many. Ask anybody why we live it fast, and we laugh, reach for a flask. We have to make this moment last. That's plenty. Scratch that. This is not a moment. It's the movement where all the hungriest brothers with something to prove went. Foes oppose us. We take an honest stand. We roll like Moses, claiming our promised land. And if we win our independence, is that a guarantee of freedom for all?
our descendants. But with the blood we shed begin an endless cycle of vengeance and death with no defendants. I know the action in the street is exciting, but Jesus, between all the bleeding and fighting, I've been reading and writing. We need to handle our financial situation. Are we a nation of states? What's the state of our nation? I'm past patiently waiting, I'm passionately smashing every expectation, every action's an act of creation. I'm laughing in the face of casualties of sorrow. For the first time I'm thinking past tomorrow.
And I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot. We're gonna rise up.
Yeah, done.
Yeah.
Let's talk about life outside of singing. You also did some content for a few publications.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I worked for a company called 7th Street Media during the year, which is really great, just making online videos, which is something that I love to do. I have a YouTube channel and love making YouTube videos, so it's not very successful, don't get excited. But yeah, no, I love creating, and that was a really great job for me to be able to create content and get a little view into the world of journalism, and yeah, really great guys. So that's fun. It's fun to do.
What were you? Were you sort of? Did you interview people? Was it?
Yeah, did all sorts of things. Interviews with artists mainly. Like one of the publications was Tone Deaf, which is a sort of online based alternative music newspaper, and we did sort of interviews with people there. And we started up a new sort of Twitter Facebook group called Don't Bore Us, which sort of amassed 400,000 followers in the time that I was there. And it's pop culture. It's just pretty much all 5 Seconds of Summer, Ariana Grande. They really like My Chemical Romance for some reason. And that was great. Just coming up with memes for work is fantastic, and I think everyone should try it.
Absolutely. What a cool job.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier you hold a Bachelor of Languages.
Yeah.
Well, in two languages.
In two languages, French and German. Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I really wanted to study languages. I've always loved them. Like I said earlier, I love words and I love literature and reading and stuff. So I always wanted to learn languages, but they didn't really offer them in my high school because I went to a local public high school. I believe they offered French for one semester in year 9 and Indonesian, which I didn't really have much use for. So I went to Canberra and I was pretty insistent on doing the double degree there. And French I just always had a fascination for, so I majored in French and did a minor in German. Actually, it turns out the German's been more helpful because there's a lot more going on in Germany for opera than there is in France.
Okay, so you've been to Germany for opera?
Yeah, many times.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've not done any productions there, but I've done a lot of singing. There's a lot of great teachers in Berlin and Munich that I love. I've done a 3-week long summer school in Austria called the Tyrolean Opera Program, which was really, really great. And it was majority American, a couple of Austrians, one Latvian. And that sort of gave me a base in Austria to go to every time I head over. So, there's a lot of German in my life every time I go overseas, and I'm still too scared to have deep conversations in it, but I can order you dinner.
I know I said I was going to get away from singing, but
it's okay.
Yeah, the thing is, like, a lot of operas, or I'd say a majority of operas, are written in other languages.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, Italian, for example. Did you find that helped?
Definitely. I think actually now thinking about it, that was probably the reason I decided to do that at the same time. It definitely was a helping factor. I sing the majority of the stuff that I do in other languages, but all of the work I've had, apart from Carmen, has been in operas in English. So it is. There's a great history of Italian opera. Mozart wrote some incredible German operas. My personal favourite stuff is always French. I just love French opera because it's just, it's delicious. It's the only sort of word you use when you listen to it. But it was the music that I stumbled upon myself. So I didn't have a music teacher tell me to go and listen to a thing, or I didn't have any friends tell me that, you know, you should listen to Mozart or whatever. I found French music, French opera myself, and I fell in love with it that way. So that's why I kept up with the French, I think. It's been great.
Did you study at the School of Clowning?
I did. I did a short course.
Okay.
Yeah, at Lecoq.
And what does that involve?
That was in Sydney, actually. That is like a lot of spontaneity and just it's a lot of improv, to be honest.
Okay.
Like it's based around improv. I love improv as well. And yeah, it was great. There were classes in the art of the joke, and there were classes in physicality, and yeah, it was really good. I am a very physical performer, and I did it just prior to starting the schools program, which is performing for kids, so it's high energy all the time, which I normally have no problem with, but there's sort of a way where energy can become sort of all over the place, and when you focus it, that's when it's funny. So that's a lot what I learned with Lecoq, is that if you focus your energy, you can actually have more of an effect than if you're just running around helter-skelter on stage.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. A little birdie told me that you plan on one day writing a autobiography and calling it She'll Be Right.
She'll Be Right.
What's with the title?
I think that's kind of my life in a statement. She'll Be Right. I don't know. I grew up on a farm, and that's very much the sort of thesis of being on the farm, is you find a problem and, I mean, she'll be right, but you just fix it. So, it's kind of, I fall over a lot. I'm a very clumsy human. I sort of navigate my way through life with just a sort of she'll be right attitude. It'll be fine. Just wing it. It's great.
I think you should definitely do it.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier your dad played some instruments.
Yeah.
I guess you came from a musical family.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you play anything else other than sing?
I do. I play and teach guitar, piano and flute. Also have had a love of the drums for about 15 years or something. In Parkes, we have... Parkes is a town of maybe 20,000 people, but every January there is the Elvis Festival, which shoots the population up to something like 50 or 60,000. And it's just ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous festival, but every year for my high school, our church would hold a gospel service where we would all dress up in Elvis costumes and that sort of thing. And I would play the drums for that. So I was involved. Elvis taught me how to drum, I guess. That's the long and short of it.
And if you weren't a singer, what do you think you would have done?
I don't know. I think that the answer to that changes every year.
Yeah.
I am always going to be a performer, I think, in some aspects. I love bringing smiles to people's faces by just being a doof. So... I guess something on television or, but as I get older, that certainly would have definitely been my answer when I was sort of 18, 19. But as I get older, I think I'm drawn more to the creation side of things. So I don't really mind what I would do outside of opera, just so long as I'm creating stuff. My sort of motto these days is just make a hat. There's a sort of saying, which I can never remember verbatim, but it goes something along the lines of, if you have the resources and the want to make a hat, then make a hat, and everyone will just see that it's a hat, and they'll put it on. That's not actually how it goes, but it's my sort of paraphrased version of it. But that's the kind of idea. I like the idea of finding a bunch of people and just making a thing, just like we did with Chamber Pot. We just made it, and then everyone was like, oh, yeah, the opera in the bathroom. We know that thing. So, yeah, I'll just keep doing that, I guess.
Cool. We have to move on to your borrowed song now.
Oh, yeah.
What have you gone with?
There's not too much backstory in this one. This is Panic at the Disco. I was a huge Panic at the Disco fan when I was in high school, and a friend got me onto them. So that's why it's borrowed.
I get to say, this is Panic at the Disco on 2SER.
Yay!
Some standard motels on the la 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 la, corner of 4th and Fremont. Straight appealing only because they're just that unappealing. Practice Catholic will cross themselves upon until the rooms have a hint of asbestos and maybe just a dash of formaldehyde and the habit of decomposing right before your very eyes, along with the people inside. What a wonderful caricature of intimacy inside. With a rosary tucked inside her lingerie. She's getting a job at the firm come Monday. The missus will stay with the cheating attorney. Moonlighting aside, she really needs this money. A wonderful caricature of intimacy. Yeah. And not to mention the constable and his
Panic at the Disco there, Build God, Then We'll Talk. My guest today is soprano opera singer Jessica Westcott. Jessica, have you ever thought about moving into musical theatre?
Yeah, of course. Musical theatre was sort of my love, and it turns out that my voice was better at opera than music theatre. I think that if I had a naturally incredible belt, then perhaps my career would have gone a bit differently. But yeah, definitely. I think these days, as there are more musicals, they're called, that are coming to Sydney, there's more opportunities for opera singers to diversify their talents and be able to do stuff. So, you know, there's stuff like Phantom of the Opera and Sound of Music and stuff that is written for classically trained voices. But not only that, I think it's so important for opera singers to be able to sing more than just opera, because there's just not enough work. So it would be silly of me to just, you know, focus on one thing and hope to have, you know, a full career on it. So yeah, I'd absolutely welcome any music theatre producers out there who'd like a soprano. I'm very funny, so put me on.
Well, I wanted to ask you about work. Is it hard to find as a singer, particularly an opera singer?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ladder. So there's, like, sort of any other difficult career, opera, less so in music theatre, opera has more of a ladder. So you start off with your undergrad and then you do your master's, and then you do, in Australia, the competition circuit is very very influential and very important in an opera singer's career. So if you do the competition circuit enough, hopefully you will be in the finals. Some of these competitions in Australia, all you need to do is get into the finals and they will give you a full scholarship overseas. There's usually 6 finalists, that sort of thing. So that's usually the circuit. And then you just try and find work wherever possible. I'm a big believer in making your own opportunities. So I'm constantly looking out for anybody who I can collaborate with to make new stuff. Another thing that I really believe in is performing is such a selfish art form, which is fine because it's meant to be, but it's such a selfish art form that it makes sense for singers to put aside some time in their life to give back. So at the moment, I'm in a place of really wanting to grab as much talent as I can and take it out to rural New South Wales and actually give the singers, the upcoming singers there, the high school aged singers or musicians or actors or whatever, the ability to meet a mentor or someone like that, someone that they can go, wow, she's doing the thing that I had a dream about doing last night. That's cool. How do I become her? You know, we never got that sort of immediacy with mentors when I was growing up. So that's what my focus is at the moment. And if I can build a career that collaborates that sort of outreach with performing in and of itself, then that would be just a wonderful life.
Yeah, that would be really amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're not singing, mm-hmm. what are you doing?
I like video games. I like YouTube, like watching YouTube. And I love driving. I just have always driven and I love driving. I love going out to the country where I grew up. And just travel generally. I know that's a really bland answer, but I love getting out of Sydney and going and seeing stuff and seeing people, and I like to take photos too. I'm a serial and compulsive documenter of everything. I would take 20 photos for the occasion that I only needed one. So
yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just take photos of stuff and yeah.
What about what would be your perfect Sunday afternoon?
Well, I'm living in a really great suburb at the moment. So my perfect, and it's right next to a like a Harris Farm Markets. So I'd love to like go and get some lunch things, make some lunch, and then just chill with some friends, watch a movie, and then go and do an escape room at night.
Yes, escape
room. I love escape rooms. They're the best. If you've never done an escape room, Google it. They're so much fun. I've done so many of them now. they're my favorite thing. Yeah, they're my favorite thing.
So you mentioned mentoring. What? Where do you see your future if you're not mentoring, or if you're not singing, perhaps?
Yeah, I think I honestly at this point see my future as a combination of a bunch of different things. So I definitely want to see a huge part of my life in mentoring and teaching. I currently have about 30 students that I teach, and I love them so much. They bring me so much joy. So teaching and mentoring in that way, and then also creating performances. So whether it be something like Chamber Pot, or whether it be writing my own, or who knows. But I just know that they're the two avenues that I want to keep pursuing and keep growing, but never kind of losing sort of my touch in them. You know, I never really want to be the product of someone's idea of what my art form should be or what my career should look like. I'll just keep doing stuff that I agree with, and then opportunities will come from there. I've never been short of opportunities, and I don't think I will be, because if I am, I just make them. So I'll just put on a tour or put on a concert or whatever. But
that's a fantastic outlook.
That's what I like to do. Yeah.
And are there any shows that you are just dying to do?
I mean, Hamilton, but I'll never be in Hamilton. There is one opera that I would love to sing in, and it's an opera called Manon. And I actually think that it would work really well as a music theatre piece, but I've patented that, so nobody stole that idea. I would love to be in Manon. It's just the most heart-wrenching, incredible opera. But I'd also just love to be in something really cheesy like Phantom of the Opera. I think I would kill that. I'd be so good in that.
Yeah?
So, yeah. That's what I'd love to do.
Well, if anyone's out there listening, Jessica is available for...
or Wicked. I could do Wicked. Oh, but Wicked? I feel like Wicked is very 10 years ago. So if there's a 2017 version of one of those operas, then count me in.
Give Jess a call.
Yeah.
Jessica, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much. It's been so much fun.
Yeah. It's been lovely having you in. Welcome back as well.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back in Sydney. You have to take us out now with your blues song.
Oh, so this is quite apt. Talking about Welcome Home. This song is called Australia by Gyroscope, and it's very like early 2000s whiny pop. But it makes me cry every time I listen to it. Or I would listen to it weirdly on the plane on the way home from overseas every time I would fly overseas. And it just makes me love Australia every time I hear it a bit more. So yeah.
Thanks, Jess.
Thank you.
When I washed up on the shore, I could breathe a little more than I would realize. You can call me crazy, you can call me what you will. You could take the bitter pill if it helps you sleep at night. It's a long, long way, my cookie friend. Such a long, long way back home. Forget those who died.